Where do you go to meet attractive people of the opposite sex? The answer is obviously out of the house. I teach classes all over California, and I used to ask my students, how many times last week did you go out of the house looking for a loving relationship? And most single people answer zero times, and they can't understand why they never meet anybody. It's a complete mystery to them. I guess they expect to fall in love with a Fuller Brush man, or maybe the Avon lady, or possibly the Jehovah Witness. The loving partner that you're looking for is not going to fall through your skylight. The price you have to pay to meet that special person is you have to step out of your front door. Now, this sounds easy, but most single people don't feel safe outside of their homes. Most people feel a lot more comfortable, it's a lot more relaxing to just stay home and watch TV. And of course, people give me excuses all the time. They say, Rich, I work really hard for a living. I've got to fight the rush hour traffic to get to work in the morning. Then I have to spend 8-9 hours at work. Then I have to fight the rush hour traffic to get back home. When I get home, I'm tired. I'm beat. I have to relax. I have to unwind. Now you're telling me that I've got to cook dinner, eat dinner, wash the dishes. Then I have to take a shower, put on my clothes, put on my face, fix my hair, run out in the middle of the night looking for love. And then tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., the alarm clock rings, and I have to go through the whole schedule all over again. Well, I hear these excuses, and I don't have any answer to them. But I do want to share with you a cardinal rule, and that is, if you stay home, you're going to stay single. It's as simple as that. The price that you pay in order to find a loving relationship is you have to step out of your front door. And of course, people always ask me, Rich, how many times should I go out of the house looking for love? And the answer is, how long are you willing to wait? Looking at things logically, if you go out of the house twice a week, you're going to find a loving partner twice as fast as if you only go out once a week. If you go out of the house 7 times a week, you're going to find love 7 times faster than if you go out once a week. And since every day has a morning, noon, and night, there's no reason why you can't go out of the house 21 times a week, is there? What I'd like you to do right now is to get a piece of paper and something to write with. Stop the tape. Assuming that you have a piece of paper and something to write with, write down the number of times that you're committing yourself to going out of the house looking for a loving relationship each week. How many times per week? 1 time, 5 times, 20 times, 50 times? How many times a week are you willing to commit yourself to going out of the house to look for a loving relationship? Write that number down on a piece of paper. It's very important that you write it down, because if it's in your head, you won't do it. Write down that number, and I'd like you to think big. The larger the number, the sooner you will find somebody very special for a lasting, loving relationship. Of course, the question is, once you're out of the house, where do you go? Well, in a sense, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, because wherever you go, you're going to be passing by single people. If you're walking down the street and you're passing by adults, there's a very good chance that some of them are going to be single. If you're in an elevator and there are 10 people in that elevator with you, chances are 4 or 5 of them are going to be single. If you're standing in line at the bank, chances are the person in front of you or in back of you is probably single. This is true at the supermarket, the laundromat. Wherever you go, you're passing by attractive single people. The secret is to develop what I call looking for love consciousness. Every time you step out of your front door, you're looking for love. Now, this sounds easy, but it isn't. Most single people are always rushing. We live in a society that teaches us that we have to rush to work, we have to rush to church, we have to rush to the supermarket. Wherever we go, we're always in a hurry. In this fast-paced society, it's very, very difficult to notice all of the attractive people that you're passing by every single day of your life. From now on, what I'd like you to do when you step out of the door is to slow down, open up your eyes, and look. Be on the lookout for attractive people of the opposite sex that fit the criteria that you have for a loving relationship. If you keep your eyes open, you're going to notice that there are all kinds of attractive people that you've been passing by every single day of your life, but you just never stop to notice. You never stopped to smell the roses. So from now on, every time you step out of your door, you're looking for love. Now, what are the best places to go to in order to find a romantic partner? And the answer is, you want to go where there are lots of strangers. This sounds pretty simple, but it isn't, because most of us were raised to be taught that strangers are dangerous. Remember what Mommy said, don't talk to strangers? Mommy was right, strangers are dangerous. Unfortunately, the person that you're looking for to share your life with is probably a person that you haven't met yet. The mistake that most single people make when they get out of the house is they make the mistake of visiting their friends. Now, I have nothing against having friends. In fact, I even have a few myself. But the point is really, really very simple. If you were going to get romantically involved with one of your friends, it probably would have happened by now. In other words, if you want to find a romantic partner, you have to hang around strangers, not friends. Let me give you an extreme example. Let's suppose that it's Saturday night, and you've been invited to do two different parties on different parts of the county. You can't go to both parties. You have to make a choice. One of the parties, you're going to know everybody there. You're going to have a wonderful time because all your friends will be there. The other party is a party where you won't know anybody except the person who invited you. Which party do you go to? If you're like most single people, you're going to go to the party with all of your friends, you're going to have a wonderful time, and you're not going to meet anybody. The wise thing to do would be to go to the party that is full of strangers. In fact, to really get extreme, let's suppose that it's Saturday night, and you haven't been invited to any parties, and you don't even have a date. Now, I'm sure this probably never happens to you. You probably have a date every Saturday night. But let's suppose this one particular Saturday night, your date cancels out on you at the very last minute. 8:30 at night, they call you up and they say, I'm sorry, I have the stomach flu. So you're saying to yourself, well, gee, I can't call somebody up at 8:30 p.m. on a Saturday night and ask them for a date. That would be considered to be insulting. So what the hell? It's not going to kill me to stay home one Saturday night out of the year. So you're saying to yourself, I'm going to turn on TV and see what's on. Now, I'm sure most of you never watch TV on Saturday nights, so you probably don't know what's on. So let me tell you ahead of time, the worst shows on TV are always on Saturday night. You know, if you check with the Nielsen company that do the ratings of all the TV shows, they'll tell you that Saturday night always has the lowest rated television shows. Now, this is true any year. Always the lowest rated shows are on Saturday nights. So you really can't watch TV on a Saturday night. You'll be bored to tears. So what's the alternative? You're saying to yourself, okay, what I'll do instead is I'll just go out and, I'll just use the telephone and I'll talk to my friends. Sounds like a good idea, but there's only one problem. You know the rule about being single on Saturday night. If the telephone rings, you can't answer. Let's face it, if you answer the phone on Saturday night, you're admitting to the entire world that nobody found you attractive enough to ask you out. So here you are, you're staying home on Saturday night, you can't watch TV, you can't even use the phone. You'll probably be bored, lonely, depressed all night long. Here's an alternative for you. What I suggest is you get in your car and you drive to a nice neighborhood. The kind of neighborhood where the kind of person you want to meet is likely to be living. And lower your window just a little bit so that you can listen for the sound of raucous laughter. Now, when you hear that sound, what you should do is park your car and crash the party. That's where you would have the maximum chance of finding a loving relationship. It would be a room full of strangers. Everybody there would be a potential romantic partner. Well, I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think you get my point. People always want to go parties where they know everybody. Nobody ever wants to go to a party by themselves or go to a party in which they don't know anybody, but those are the best parties to go to. At Christmas time, for example, there are literally dozens or even hundreds of parties all over your city or your county. And believe it or not, a lot of these parties are open to the public. For example, at Christmas time, if you were to look in the yellow pages of your telephone book under title companies and call up all those companies, all you have to ask is, where's the Christmas party this year? And they'll tell you. You don't have to have a real estate license. You don't have to have an engraved invitation. You just show up at the title company whenever they have their Christmas party, and it's easy to get in, and everybody there is likely to be a stranger, unless you happen to be a professional in the real estate industry. There are many other organizations and companies that throw Christmas parties. Often they're listed in the newspaper around Christmas time. Start attending some of these parties. Political parties are also great to attend. Twice a year during the June primary, if you're in California, or whatever month of the year that your state has a primary, and also in the November election, there are victory parties. And these victory parties are great places to go to meet somebody of the opposite sex. Now, if you're a Democrat, you can go to the Democratic Party victory party on election night. Or if you're a Republican, go to the Republican victory party. You can find out about these parties by calling your local Democratic or Republican Party headquarters that are listed in your telephone book. Incidentally, if you go to the Democratic Party victory party and you don't see anybody attractive, why not go to the Republican Party victory party? You're going to be welcome, since many, many Democrats vote for Republicans and many Republicans vote for Democrats in an election. Why not go to both of the victory parties and see which one has the most attractive people of the opposite sex? Now, these are just a few suggestions on where you can go, but let's be a little bit more scientific. Why not turn to a national survey of 3,000 single people? They asked these singles, where do you go to meet most of your romantic partners? The number one method in the United States for finding a romantic partner, according to this nationwide survey, is through friends. 33% of all romantic relationships begin through friends. Let's face it, it's an easy, comfortable way to meet people of the opposite sex. You have your friends introduce you. What I would like you to do as your next homework assignment is to write down the names of all of the people that you're going to ask to be love hunters. You've all heard of headhunters before. If you were the president of a corporation and you had 1,000 employees and your vice president of marketing retired or resigned and you had to replace them, what you would probably do is go through the resumes of your 1,000 employees to see who has the qualities necessary to be a good vice president of marketing. Let's suppose that nobody who works for you has all the qualities you're looking for. What you would probably do is go to a professional. You'd go to a headhunter. There are executive search services all over who, for a fee, will find the right person to be your vice president of marketing. Now, usually you don't pay these headhunters up front. You usually pay them a contingency fee of 30% of the first year's salary. So, for example, if you were going to pay your vice president of marketing $100,000 a year, which is not a lot of money for a good VP of marketing, you probably would have to pay the headhunter $30,000 if they found that person with all the qualities that you're looking for. Why not ask your friends to be love hunters? Why not ask for a 6-month commitment from them that they are going to be on the lookout for somebody that you can share your life with? Now, of course, you're probably thinking right now of blind dates and saying to yourself, uh-uh. The problem with blind dates is that your friends usually mean well, but they're going to introduce you to somebody that they think is attractive, but you think is a nerd. The way to avoid going on blind dates is to share with your love hunters all the qualities that you're looking for in a romantic partner. If you're very, very specific and you say, I want somebody that has the following qualities, there's a very good chance that they're going to find that person for you. Now, assuming that your friends have somebody that they think you might like, ask them to arrange for an introduction. Or what will often happen is they'll say, gee, I'm sorry, I don't know anybody who has those qualities. All you have to do is say, fine, would you be willing to be on the lookout for the next 6 months for somebody who has the following qualities? And if you find that person, would you be willing to introduce me to them? That's what I mean by asking all of your friends to be love hunters. Now, your homework assignment is to write down the names of all of your closest friends. If you don't already have paper and pen, stop the tape. Assuming that you have a paper and pen, write down the names of all of your closest friends. Then write down the names of all of your acquaintances. Write down the names of your coworkers, your bosses, your subordinates, your clients, your customers. Write down the names of your neighbors. Write down the names of all of your relatives, your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, your uncles, your aunts. Write down the names of your neighbors. Write down the names of the mailman, the more people that you ask to be a love hunter, the greater the likelihood that you're going to find the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Let's face it, it's a numbers game, pure and simple. The choosier you are, the pickier you are, the harder it's going to be to find a person who has all of the qualities on your list. So what you have to do is to have a large number of people to choose from. Let's assume for the sake of argument that you know 50 people of the opposite sex who are single. That means if you wanted to get married, you'd have to marry one of those 50 people. Let's suppose, on the other hand, that you have 10 love hunters, and each one of these love hunters knows 50 single people that you don't know. Now you have 500 more people to choose from. In other words, the more people you have to choose from, the choosier you can afford to be, and the greater the likelihood that you're going to meet one special person that you can be happy with for the rest of your life. So take advantage of your friends. That's the number one method in the United States for finding a romantic partner. Sometimes people in my class raise an objection, often women do, and that is, hey, my friends would never, ever introduce me to somebody this wonderful. They would keep that guy or keep that woman for themselves. Well, that's really not true. The fact of the matter is that all of us have a slightly different list of qualities that we're looking for in an ideal romantic partner. Sure, there are a lot of qualities that are the same on everybody's list. Everybody wants somebody who's friendly and affectionate and has a good sense of humor and is intelligent and articulate. But besides all of those obvious qualities, each one of us has unique qualities that we're looking for in somebody that we would spend the rest of our lives with. So the secret is to turn to your love hunters and say, listen, I'm not expecting you to introduce me to somebody that you would want to marry. I want you to introduce me to somebody that I would want to marry, somebody who has the following unique list of qualities. In other words, ask them to introduce you to their rejects. There doesn't have to be competition in finding a romantic partner because we all have individual tastes. Let's assume that you do take advantage of your friends. What's the second most obvious place in the United States to find a romantic partner according to the nationwide survey? And the answer, I hope you don't mind if I use a dirty word at this point, is singles bars. 21% of all romantic relationships in the United States begin in bars. It is the second most common method in this country for finding a romantic partner. Now, people usually ask me at this point in my classes, Rich, what kind of a person am I likely to meet in a bar? And usually people ask that with kind of a sneer in their voice. Well, at that point, I ask people in the class, anybody who's ever been in a singles bar before, to raise their hand. Usually, just about every hand in the class goes up. And then I have people in the class look around the room, and I say, these are the kinds of people that you're likely to meet in a bar. In other words, the same people that you meet at church, the same people that you meet at work, at a picnic, at a barbecue, on the street, your next-door neighbors, these are the same kinds of people who periodically go to bars in order to meet people of the opposite sex. Now, of course, people sometimes ask me, Rich, where are these singles bars? I looked in the yellow pages of my phone book and under singles bars, and there were no listings. I drove around my neighborhood, and I didn't see any signs saying singles bar. How do I know whether a bar is a singles bar? Well, there is no such thing as a singles bar. A singles bar is just a place that single people like to go to meet other single people. And certainly, the most popular time to meet single people at a bar is usually in the evenings on Fridays or Saturdays where there's dancing. Now, there's a reason for this. It's very awkward to walk into a bar, or anywhere else for that matter, and walk up to a complete stranger and say, hi, what's your name, what's your sign, whatever. There has to be an easy, socially acceptable way to walk up to a complete stranger and ask for 3 minutes of their time. That's why dancing is so popular at singles bars. You can walk up to somebody, ask them to dance. After the song is over, it's easy to say thank you very much, go back to where you were. If you like the person, you can dance with them again. If you don't like the person, you can easily get rid of them without hurting their feelings. That's why dancing is such a popular way for single people to meet, and that's why singles bars usually feature dancing on Friday and Saturday nights. Now, you can go to bars that feature conversation only. I call these conversational bars. These are great places to meet single people, but it takes a whole lot more courage to walk up to a stranger and start a conversation than it does to just walk up to them and ask them to dance. Of course, another place, another time that you can go to bars is during sporting events. Nowadays, bars call themselves sports bars. And a sports bar is simply a bar that features a large television screen so that people can watch basketball, baseball, football, hockey, tennis, golf. It seems like all day long and all night long there's some kind of sporting event going on. And they're always on these giant television screens in the bars. These are other opportunities to meet attractive people of the opposite sex. Possibly the best time to go to a bar would be during a happy hour, Monday through Friday, usually after work, anywhere from 4 o'clock to possibly 7 o'clock. Many bars feature free hors d'oeuvres, free buffets, in which you can literally eat almost an entire dinner for free. All you have to do, of course, is pay for your drinks. These are good times to meet single people, especially if you want to meet single people who work for a living, because they often go to these neighboring bars next to their work after the working day is over in order to meet some people, have a drink, relax, and eat some hors d'oeuvres. So this is an excellent place to meet attractive people of the opposite sex. Here's your next homework assignment. This assignment is so much fun, I'm going to make it voluntary. You don't even have to do it. But once you hear the assignment, I'm sure you're going to experiment and see if it's as much fun as I claim it is. What I would like you to do is go to a singles bar on a Friday or Saturday night that features music. And go there not to look for love, but just to watch. Specifically, what I want you to do is to watch the men. They're pathetic. The average man who goes to a singles bar meets zero women. Now, this comes to a shock to a lot of women because they think, gee, it must be easy to meet women in a bar. You've got all those women sitting out there at the tables waiting for a man to walk up to them and ask them to dance. In fact, women usually get pretty upset because the average woman who goes to a bar invests a lot of time getting ready to look nice for these men. You know, the average guy, of course, hops into the shower and 15 minutes later, he's out the door ready to go to the singles bar. The average woman, on the other hand, invests a minimum of 1 hour getting ready. It takes her at least that much time to shower and put on all of her makeup just right and fix her hair perfectly, blow dry everything, get her clothes ready. And of course, women usually iron their clothes, unlike the men. So it's at least an hour investment. And these women want a return on their investment. So these women get very upset because they say, I go to this bar, I sit there for an hour or two, I see all these guys up at the bar talking to their buddies, drinking, and none of them come up and ask me to dance. Now what's wrong with all of these guys? They either all must be alcoholics or they all must be gay. Well, the answer is they're neither. The answer is they're chicken. The average man who walks into a singles bar is petrified. He's scared to death because he knows that tonight is ego-stomping night. Tonight's the night that I'm going to walk up to the wrong woman, ask her to dance, and get rejected. And I'm going to be devastated. You see, most men have low self-esteem. And to be honest, most women have low self-esteem. Most of us are scared to death of rejection. So if you watch the men in a bar, it looks like they're drinking alcohol, but they're not. They're really drinking liquid courage. Secretly, out of the corner of their eye, they're eyeballing the room, trying to notice who's single and who isn't, who's attractive and who isn't. They try to be subtle about it, but you can usually spot them while they're eyeballing the room. So the guy finally spots a woman across the room, and he notices her that she's kind of tapping her foot to the music, and he says to himself, okay, I'm going to take a chance with this woman. She looks like she's ready to dance. So he takes a deep breath, probably takes a big gulp out of his drink, and bravely walks across the room. He arrives at her table, and he asks her to dance, and she says, bug off, creep. Now this poor schmuck has to go all the way back to the bar, convinced that every pair of eyes are upon him in his moment of humiliation. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? You know, the average man who gets rejected one time leaves the bar. These guys are not made of stone. They bleed just like everybody else. One rejection and they're gone. Now, if a guy really has courage, he'll go back to the bar and order a double. That's your typical person at a singles bar. Do the voluntary homework assignment. Go to a singles bar, watch the men, and see if I'm making things up. The average man in a singles bar meets zero women. Now, if you truly want to find a loving relationship in a bar, and by the way, I've spoken to many, many people who have found a loving relationship and even marriage in a bar, you have to go about it intelligently. If you're a man, there are two simple steps to finding a loving relationship in a bar. Step number one, don't drink. You have to understand that time that you spend in a bar drinking is wasted time. The smarter men don't drink at all. They just pick up on all of the attractive women in the bar. They get first dibs on all of the women while all of their competitors are busy at the bar getting drunk. If you want to get drunk, stay home. Buy yourself a six-pack and watch TV. It's a lot safer, and you don't have to worry about drunk driving regulations. But if you go to a bar, don't drink. Go to a bar specifically to meet women. Incidentally, most women who go to bars are paranoid that they're going to meet a man who has a drinking problem. So the more you drink, the less attractive you're going to be to women. So the secret to meeting women in a bar, step number one, don't drink. Step number two, if you walk up to a woman and ask her to dance, and she says no, and let's face it, a good percentage of women are going to say no, instead of going back to the bar with your tail between your legs, what you should do instead is go to another table in a different part of the bar where nobody saw you get rejected and ask another woman to dance. And if she turns you down, go to another section of the bar and ask them to dance. If you keep on asking until you get a yes, eventually you're going to find somebody to dance with who finds you attractive and you find her attractive. Those are the two simple steps. Now, I guarantee if you don't drink and if you keep on asking until you get a yes, you're going to meet more women than any other man in the bar. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to have muscles. You don't have to be well dressed. You don't have to be suave or sophisticated. You don't have to be wealthy. All you have to meet women in a bar is guts. Now, what do you do if you're a woman and you want to meet men in a singles bar? Here are four steps for you to follow. Step number one, and you're not going to like this, enter alone. Now, most women feel uncomfortable doing this. Most women go to bars with what I call their bodyguards. Most women go with their friends. I call them bodyguards because the purpose of these bodyguards is to ensure that you won't meet any men. And it works. I've already explained how men are scared to death to walk up to a woman in a bar to ask her to dance. Can you imagine how much more intimidating it is to walk up to a table full of women, two, three, four, five women, and ask one of those women to dance in front of all the others? It's terribly, terribly embarrassing to most men. The more bodyguards you go with to in a bar, the fewer men you're going to meet. It's as simple as that. Now notice I said that step number one is enter alone. I didn't say you have to go to the bar by yourself. Quite to the contrary. If you feel uncomfortable going to a bar by yourself, you can hire the women's karate championship team and have them escort you to the bar. But you enter alone. You stagger your entrances. Every 45 seconds, a different woman enters the bar. And then you ignore each other for the rest of the evening while you're in that bar. When you're ready to go, you make a little wink or a little high sign to your bodyguards, and you all leave together. So you'll be perfectly safe at the bar. But while you're there, you are not talking or even looking at your bodyguards. You're busy meeting men. That's step number one. Step number two, sit or stand at the bar. In other words, make it easy on the men. Most women hide out in the dark corners of the room where the men can barely even see them, and they wonder why the men don't walk up to them. If you sit or stand at the bar where most of the men are, it's easy for them to turn to you casually without other people overhearing, ask you your name, ask you to dance, offer to buy you a drink. Again, these men are scared to death of rejection. The easier you make it on them, the more likely they are to talk to you. The harder you make it on them, the greater the likelihood that they're not going to walk all the way across the room to ask you to dance. So step number two for meeting men in a bar is sit or stand at the bar. Step number three, what happens if the Hunchback of Notre Dame asks you to dance? What do you say? The answer is yes. See, the problem is, if you say no to somebody that you find attractive, Mr. Wright is probably watching the whole scene from the bar. He finds you attractive, he wants to ask you to dance, but he's scared. So he watches you turn down the Hunchback, and he says to himself, "Phew, that was a close one. I'm sure glad he asked her to dance before I did. Now I know not to ask this woman over here. She's probably going to reject me. The secret to being popular in a bar, the secret to getting Mr. Right to ask you to dance, is to be seen on the dance floor dancing with different men. Mr. Right will watch and he'll say to himself, well, if she'll dance with those guys, she'll probably dance with me. In other words, the secret to getting Mr. Right to ask you to dance is you have to be willing to dance with Mr. Wrong. You don't have to marry him. All you have to do is give him 3 minutes of your time and then say thank you very much and leave. Now, occasionally women complain that they'll walk into a man who's overly persistent. Once she's danced with him, he'll keep on coming over asking her to dance, and he won't take no for an answer. Now, this does occasionally happen in bars, particularly men who have had too much to drink. Sometimes can be obnoxious. What do you do with a man who will not take no for an answer? And the answer is you've got to be firm with him. You have to be assertive. You have to say, listen, I'm here to meet other men besides yourself. Please don't ask me to dance anymore, or please don't sit next to me, because if you do, it prevents me from meeting other men. Now, if he won't take this in a nice fashion, the alternative is to go to the bartender or the bouncer and say, this man is hassling me, and they will ask that man to leave the bar. Now, if worse comes to worse, go to a different bar. There are literally hundreds of thousands of bars all across the United States. Find one where you can be comfortable, where you can meet nice, attractive men. That's step number 3, dance with whomever asks. And the final step, step number 4, suppose a guy walks up to you and asks you to dance, and he's an attractive man, but the only problem is you don't like the song. What do you say? Well, a lot of women will try to be honest and say, look, I'd like to dance with you, I just don't like this song. Could you please come back in a few minutes? And they really think the man is coming back. This man has just been devastated. He's not going to believe that you don't like the song. He's going to think that you're using that as an excuse, that the real reason is that you find him to be unattractive. So the correct answer always is yes. Dance with this attractive man regardless of the song. I mean, if you truly hate this song, if you're afraid that if you were to dance it, you would wind up throwing up in the middle of the floor, the alternative is to say, listen, I don't like this song. Why don't you sit down here next to me? Let's talk for a few minutes and wait for a good song. But if you say anything else, if you reject a man, no matter what excuse you give, you're going to lose him. He's not going to come back for more punishment. Those are the 4 steps for meeting men in a bar. If you follow those 4 steps, if you enter alone and ignore your bodyguards, if you sit or stand at the bar, if you dance with whomever asks, and you dance regardless of the song, I guarantee that you will meet more men than the Playmate of the Month. If you follow those 4 easy steps, you will be the most popular woman in the bar. Now, that's the second most common method for finding a romantic partner. The third most common method is miscellaneous social events. 20% of all romantic relationships in the United States begin between people who meet at a miscellaneous social event, such as a party or a dance or a barbecue or a picnic. So start watching the calendar section of your local newspaper, either your daily newspaper or your weekly newspaper, and start noticing where all the parties and the picnics and the barbecues are being held. Pay attention to what your friends tell you about various social events. Call them up on Fridays or Saturdays and start attending these. They are excellent places to find a romantic partner. Getting back to singles bars, what do you do if you're looking for a person who doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, kind of person who has traditional Christian values? Now, you might possibly meet this person in a bar. I mean, let's face it, all kinds of people go to bars. But the odds are you're not going to meet that kind of person in a bar. Where's a better place to go? And the answer is go to church. In fact, to be more specific, go to the Mormon church. Now, a friend of mine teaches classes for Mormon singles, and she said, Rich, every Mormon church that I know of has singles activities. They have parties for singles, dances for singles, and it's a perfect place to meet people of the opposite sex. Of course, if you're looking for somebody who likes to smoke, likes to drink, likes to do drugs, a Mormon church would be the worst place in the world to go. But if you want to meet a different kind of person, go to the Mormon church. For that matter, you can go to almost any church, and you'll find that a very large percentage of them do cater to singles and do have events such as parties and dances and lectures and discussions for single people. For example, the Catholics don't have singles clubs per se. They have what are called single-person support groups, separated and divorced Catholic support groups. Call up your local Catholic church. You don't have to be a Catholic to attend the separated and divorced Catholic support group. They're usually free, by the way. Or call up your local Protestant churches, your Presbyterian churches, your Methodist churches, your Baptist churches, your evangelical, charismatic-type churches. These churches all tend to have nonprofit singles clubs and activities, and you don't have to belong to that particular church in order to feel welcome. Another alternative are the Jewish temples and synagogues, or the Jewish community center. These often sponsor singles clubs as well, and you don't have to be Jewish to attend. Now, what do you do if you hate Catholics, you hate Protestants, and you hate Jews? And the answer is go down to the Unitarian Church. Unitarians don't believe in anything, so we're all theoretically Unitarian. I got my start many years ago in the singles world by attending the local Unitarian church. Of course, churches are just one place to go to meet a romantic partner. There are many other singles clubs that meet other than in churches. For example, the Sierra Club is not a singles club per se, but they do have singles clubs under their jurisdiction. So if you like hiking, backpacking, the outdoors in general, call up the local chapter of the Sierra Club. Hopefully there's one listed in your telephone book, especially if you're in a large city in the United States. There are numerous other nonprofit organizations. The way you locate these nonprofit singles clubs is to look in the calendar section of your local newspaper, and you will see them often listed. There are literally thousands of nonprofit singles clubs all across the United States. Approximately half of them are connected with a church, so churches are a very good starting point. You can call up your local churches. But the alternative is to attend many of the singles clubs that do not meet in churches. Often they specialize in skiing or bicycling or playing bridge or picnics or lectures or dances or potlucks or just a whole host of activities. Now, another alternative is to go to dating services. There are many, many hundreds of professional dating services all across the United States. You know, if you had a leaky faucet in your home, you would have two alternatives. You could either fix the leak yourself, or if you didn't want to get your hands wet, the alternative would be to call up a plumber. The disadvantage of having the plumber come by is that you're going to have to pay $50 or more an hour. Well, the same holds true for looking for love. You can always go out and find people on your own free of charge. But if you prefer to have somebody else do the dirty work, the alternative is to turn to a dating service. There are many different kinds of dating services. Some of them are inexpensive. Some of them charge over $1,000. Choose the dating service that is best for you. If you're looking for an inexpensive dating service, one that you might want to consider would be computer dating. Another would be profile dating. With computer dating, the computer matches you up with your ideal romantic partner after you fill out a questionnaire. With profile dating, there is no computer to match you up. You do your own matching. What you do is you read the profiles of all of the members of the opposite sex. These are paragraph descriptions. And then you select the one that you're interested in and contact them directly, usually through the mail. Now, the computer dating services and the profile dating services typically charge $30 or $40 for a 3 or 4 month membership, so they're quite inexpensive. Wouldn't it be nice to actually see a photograph of somebody before you go out with them? This is called photo dating, and there are many photo dating services throughout the United States. However, they tend to be much more expensive than computer or profile dating, often into the hundreds of dollars. An even more expensive alternative is video dating. Certainly, there's an advantage to being able to see somebody in living color being interviewed for 3 to 5 minutes. You get to see what they look like, how they talk, their gestures. You get a very good feel for their personality on the basis of the videotape. Unfortunately, video dating frequently costs over $1,000. Another alternative is professional matchmakers. They're individual people, possibly in your area, who are willing to introduce you to people that they know for a fee. In other words, these are professional love hunters. Now, the nationwide survey that I cited before of where and how single people meet gave singles organizations as the number 3 method. 20% of all romantic relationships in the United States begin between people who either met through a nonprofit singles club or a professional dating service. The fifth and last alternative that you want to consider as an ideal place to find a romantic partner is on the job. According to the nationwide survey, 10% of all romantic relationships in the United States begin on the job. Now, this is a deceptive statistic, because the fact of the matter is there's another study that was done of 1,500 single professional women, and they found out that even though only 10% of romantic relationships begin on the job, if you meet somebody at work, there's a 4 times greater chance that you'll marry them than any other method. In other words, the best method in the United States for finding a lasting relationship, one that lasts hopefully for a lifetime, is on the job. So what I would recommend that you do is seriously consider dating people on the job. I know some people grimace when they hear this because possibly you work for a company that has a policy that you're not supposed to fish off the company pier. That's unfortunate that companies have this policy, because really work is the best place to find a lasting relationship. And I think it's worth the risk. In the study of 1,500 professional women, they found out that 0.25% of all the women who dated men on the job wound up losing their jobs after the relationship ended. So there is a small risk that you might lose your job. But in my opinion, it's easier to find another good job than it is to find a lasting relationship. So if there's somebody on the job that you think might have the qualities you're looking for, I think you owe it to yourself to explore that possibility. Of course, some jobs are better than others for finding a romantic partner. Choose a job where you're likely to meet the kind of person you want to meet. For example, if you want to meet a doctor or a lawyer, get yourself a job in the medical or legal industries. You can be a doctor or lawyer yourself, or you can become a support person, a medical transcriber, a legal secretary, a receptionist. Another suggestion is to choose a job where there are lots of people of the opposite sex. Choose a job that is preferred by the opposite sex. So, for example, if you're a woman, become a policewoman, become a scientist, become a roofing contractor. If you're a man, probably the best job would be to become a male nurse. Almost all of your fellow workers would be women, and many of them would be single. Choose a job where you deal with the public each day, where you get to meet lots of new people all the time. These are jobs in what is known as the service industry. Get a service-oriented job. For example, if you're a woman, become a waitress. You get to meet lots of single men, even the shy men you get to meet, because they have to talk to you or starve to death. Another good job is to be a bank teller. The beauty of this is you get to see the man's bank account before you go out with him.